My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 2nd of October 2009 and the time is now 1:24 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from, please?
Dominic Russell Price, I'm 44 and I'm from Sheffield.
When did you come down from Sheffield?
I drove down from Sheffield to Surrey last night to stay with my parents. It's always a bit of a challenge for us. We're classic car owners, so it's not a case of jumping on the motorway at 70 plus miles an hour. So our poor little Trabant drove us at a maximum speed of 60 miles an hour down last night. So came down after work, stayed with my parents last night and drove up this morning. And I haven't actually driven in London or to London for years. And I love the congestion charge. It's fantastic. I paid my £8 and it was a breeze. And I haven't just brought my parents because my dad's disabled and I can use his sticker. I did want them to see me as well. Although my dad has Alzheimer's, so he probably has absolutely no idea what we're doing, but he did enjoy his sandwich in the car earlier.
And where are your family now?
They're just outside. Well, I believe my mother's in the National Gallery shop, and my father is loose somewhere in London on his buggy.
Is he on his own?
He has my wife chasing after him, I'm sure.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
I've always been interested in fourth plinth stuff, right from way back, and this one, I remember the shortlist being announced and having a look at the different artists. And if truth be told, I did poo-poo this one a little bit. But I work in the museum sector, I work in the arts. And as chance would have it, I had a meeting at the National Portrait Gallery on the day that One Another started. And I had about 45 minutes to wait before I went into my meeting, and I sat on the bench just underneath the plinth on my netbook watching what was going on above me online, and that's when I read up about it and I thought, oh, hang on, look at this, look at that JCB, that looks fun, and I thought I'd apply so I could get to go on the JCB.
Why did you decide to sit there in that particular place and look at it online as opposed to...
Because I wanted to sit down and all the other seats are full. Simple as that. And I wanted to know more about it. And so I looked up the website, then I saw it was being streamed. So I watched a little bit there. And I don't think at the time that anyone was wearing the radio mics, or maybe I didn't have the sound on the netbook, so I wasn't aware of what was going on. And then followed it for probably a few weeks. I got a little bit obsessed for a while, watching at home, in the office, first thing in the morning, a little bit of a catch-up, that kind of thing. And then sort of didn't pay any attention at all for a little while. Then I got my email on the 1st of September, and we've been on holiday for 2 weeks in September, but apart from that, I've been catching up and keeping an eye on what's going on. I have a look at the Twitter hecklers and the Flickr pages where people have been putting pictures up and that kind of thing. And I'm still not entirely sure
about
whether it is truly a democratic picture of Britain. There seem to be a lot of people like me, and that might be because Britain has got a lot of people like me, but I don't know. I was talking to someone a little while ago saying I certainly won't be going up there with my mobile phone and just standing there chatting to my mates, because that doesn't seem like a very interesting thing to do. But then there are probably millions of people in the country who do that day in, day out. They stand in the corner, they send text messages to their mates when they're at concerts, when they're in meetings, I've been in meetings with people who send text messages in a meeting. So if they're doing that on the plinth, they're just doing what they do every day anyway. So and I had loads of ideas, most of which appeared to have been done, some of which were completely impractical, and I think sort of seeing the campaigning side of things I find quite interesting. I spent quite a lot of the 80s in Trafalgar Square holding a banner saying Free Nelson Mandela, no poll tax, all those kinds of things, either marching here or marching to somewhere else and that kind of thing. And the square does have that heritage of being a campaigning point in London. But then it occurred to me that you also see in London people holding placards that say golf sale. And I thought, I'm just going to stand on the plinth and hold a sign that says golf sale. And then I thought, well, no, that's again, that's very boring for an hour. So why don't I think of 30, 40, 60 places that mean something to me, and I can hold up 60 signs that point as the sign to the golf sale points, golf sale 200 metres. I have a sign that says Windsor, however many miles, because that's where I was born. And I can write on it saying that's where I was born, but it would be better if it just said Windsor and there was an arrow. And that's quite good, because if I do it from all sorts of different places, I can turn round within my hour, so different people will get to see me, so I don't have the hecklers saying, we can't read your sign. But I couldn't actually think of 30 places that mean anything. Well, I could, but I lived in Norfolk for 15 years. There are going to be lots of signs pointing to things in Norfolk. I've lived in Sheffield for 10 years. There's going to be lots of... That's not round the clock. That's not 360 degrees. So I then thought, well, to go from campaigning, from doing things for other people in Trafalgar Square, I'm going to do a bit of me. And I'm going to have a bunch of signs that tell people a bit about me. They can get an idea about me. Actually, the first sign is me, but it's actually a pseudonym that I've used for 28 years or more. Actually, 28 years. Reg Tubby. Reg, actually, I do a lot of stuff on website. I work doing websites and things. My wife says I spend all my time looking at the internet. And I thought, if I'm going to hold my signs up, some of them are questions, some are cryptic, some people won't know what they mean. I would like people to know what they mean. And I'm not going to do that with a megaphone shouting. So I'll pop them on my website. So if anyone is that interested, they can click through from the One Another site through to my website. I couldn't work out the technology. I only got back from a holiday 10 days ago, so I'm just doing it as a blog. I wanted to do it so that they went up.
What's your website?
I'm actually doing it on Blogger, so the link's on the One Another website. I can't remember. I've only posted twice, but they will go up every 15 minutes, so in batches of 10. So Reg Tully, Reg started because, and it says this on the blog, Reg started because in 1981, when I was probably 17, I decided that Dominic wasn't a very rock and roll name, and I fancied changing my name because I was a stroppy 17-year-old, and bizarrely I thought Reg. Now there's musical precedence. There's Reg Presley, for instance, and it is Reg, it's not Reginald, it's Reg. That's exactly what it is. I have friends now who still only know me as Reg, And the Tubby didn't come until, I suppose, 1995, when I encountered a journalist in Norfolk called Trevor Tubby. And I thought, that's a cool name. I'm going to have that. So Reg Tubby, Reg writes to the local paper, Reg does all sorts of things. He has quite a large web presence. And so that's what I start with. That's my first, well, I call them slides because I did them all in PowerPoint, carefully drew them all, then painted and coloured them in. I started this last Sunday, and it was up till midnight on Monday and Tuesday. I was up at five on Tuesday morning, colouring in the bloody things. There's a lot of ink and acrylic paint there. But I like to suffer for my art.
You enjoyed it?
Yes, my wife's an artist, although she claims she isn't anymore because she has a full-time job, but really got into doing it. And some of the things, there's one slide sign, again, about my name. I'm Reg, or I'm Dominic. I'm not Dom. I absolutely detest being called Dom. And in the past couple of years, as colleagues I work with have changed, new people have started, and for some reason, people have started calling me Dom, and I don't like it. But you let it go once or twice, and then you just feel, oh. It's like 2 years down the line, I can't just say to my boss, actually, I don't like you calling me Dom. So I've got a big sign that says, don't call me Dom. And my colleagues have the data. Oh, actually, they've got a big plasma screen set up at work in the conference room, and they're all going to be sat there watching it.
Does anybody call you Reg at work?
Oh, yeah, a few do. And it's, I thought, that's actually the sign that I'm most proud of. I don't know what I'm going to do with them when I finish. Throw them to my adoring fans, or roll them up and take them home, or stick them in the bin. That one I've actually coloured in really, really black. So some of them, the colouring in isn't very good, but I did a really nice, neat edge on that one.
Is Reg Tubby very difficult? Very different from Dominic?
Reg finds it easier to appear in public, do things in public. I've DJed, I've done all sorts of media type things. Very rarely under my own name. So Reg Tubby, DJ Dr. Pop, Captain Merkin, but we won't go into that one. All sorts of DJing is great. I did a club night called The Wedding Reception, and I needed a DJ name. I didn't need a DJ name, but calling myself Brian Groom, I thought was fantastic. And I laughed for about 2 weeks. No one came to the club night, but I had a pseudonym to use. So I think it's much easier for me to be Reg Tubby up there. I would normally keep Reg Tubby away from work, or because people think it's funny. And they go, oh, yeah, Reg. That's fine. Oh, yeah, Simon. It's another name. So I'm sure my father's not going to understand why I've got a sign that says Reg Tubby. But he will read them out. As we were driving up today, it was fantastic. My parents have said so many of the things that I've put on the signs. My mother reads out road signs. My second sign says Farm Fresh Eggs on it because that's what my mother reads out. And she will be standing outside the National Gallery reading out my signs as I hold them up. And some of them are family things, some go back to way back, others are quotes from films or bands.
A bit
like
of JCB beeping, I'm sorry.
And
can you give us an example?
Actually the second or third one says fun with historical projects, which I think this is itself a historical project, but that's not why I've done it. It's the name of a book, a children's book about art, that was written by Tony Hart, in I suppose 1969-1970, and I think I'm on page 23 with my friend Margaret, who was a neighbour when I was a kid, and her father was co-authored the book with Tony Hart as the photographer. So and it's a picture of the two of us. It's fantastic. It's a picture of two of us sitting in front of cardboard boxes that have been gathered from a nearby supermarket, and we've made a castle out of it, and I'm holding a wooden sword and Margaret's got a crown on or something like that. It's quite prescient in as much as the cardboard boxes are grants of St. James's wine boxes, so clearly Tony and Jack could see a future in wine for me. And I wanted to put that up there, not to say I was in that book, but sorry, I'm going to cry. Someone like Tony Hart, who died recently. I knew this would happen. In fact, remind me to get my hanky out of my bag. I think he put so many people on a path of interest in art. Chris, my wife, for instance, big fan, and she didn't know that I knew him. And I suppose knew him sort of, he was a family friend for years and sort of bumped into him occasionally, but I think that says something about me. And strangely, my mother rang me at work yesterday and said, "Oh, what time are you coming down?" And Margaret Harley is thinking of coming up, and this is Margaret, who I've not seen for probably 10 years. And she was thinking of coming today. Oh, she didn't actually realise it was today. She thought it was at the weekend. But if I had stood out there with a sign, that's just a connection. So there are jokey things. There's a quote from With Nell and I. There's references to two or three bands I like. There's reference to a couple of radio DJs, that kind of thing. But then there isn't one that says I'd put that in a database, or there isn't a spreadsheet, because that's what I do for work, and I thought it would look out of place having a great big spreadsheet up there.
What would you be doing if you weren't here now?
I would be doing updates to the Museum Sheffield website. I would probably have one of my VDUs on one another, and I'd be keeping an eye on what was going on. And I'd have the sound off. I've asked for the radio mic here because I know there are people who are watching at home and work and stuff, and there are a few things I'd like to say while I'm up there. I'll probably forget, I'll corpse, but if I've got that opportunity.
What is it that you really like about this project? What is it that you found so compelling about it when you were talking?
I don't know. It's is not a great deal different from just watching a webcam on the street. I like to see the people who've made a bit of an effort. I'm actually a little bit bored of the campaigners. I think there are more imaginative ways. I work in marketing, for goodness sake, of course I can.
And yet you campaigned in the square.
Oh yeah, but I was with 100,000 other people. I was part of I felt part of that movement being there. And I don't have any issue with people up there, sort of, I will support them, but I suppose that actually feels sort of...
Do you feel quite jaded with it?
Yeah. It's like the chuggers in the high street, having collecting tins thrust in your face. And maybe that's because I'm middle-aged and I should be voting Tory by now, and that radicalism and that need or that belief that you can change things is supposed to have gone by the time you're middle-aged. And I suppose in many ways I don't know if I've lost it, but I can see different ways of doing it. Chris and I drove to the Gambia 3 years ago in a Trabant, in a little two-stroke, 24-horsepower car that we donated to charity when we got there. We raised money for charities on the way.
How long did it take you?
We were there in 3 weeks, but we did the whole trip in a month. 5,500 miles, and we didn't raise a huge amount of money with £2,500, but we did that for our local city farm and for a charity called Trees for Africa. And I think we came across quite difficult issues. We are driving a car to Africa raising money for green issues. And I had quite heated debates with people about whether that was a good idea, our carbon footprint, that kind of thing. And actually, a car for someone in Africa is amazingly liberating. And just because you're in Britain and you don't think people should be driving so many miles doesn't mean that someone can have a tiny little two-stroke engine which they can probably repurpose and use an outboard motor. It's probably only worth an outboard motor. But so we I still do that kind of thing, but I'm amazed, and I've read a few blogs and things about the plinth and how a number of people have found it's turned them in on themselves, and they've looked at themselves and about the ego in its true sense, rather than, hey, look at my ego kind of thing. And the fact that I can get emotional about a few sheets of paper that I'm going to hold up, that's me, that's all. That's Reg Tubby.
What about you? How would you describe yourself as opposed to Reg?
I always say I'm shy. And people don't believe me. But I can do that work a room routine. I can talk to people on any level, whether that's the cleaner or whether it's the chief executive or actually someone who matters. But I do have to really try to do that. Left on my own, I will go and stand in the corner. Probably with a glass of wine. it's odd. If you play a role, to go back to DJ, I used to do that, and there was two club nights I used to do. One, Tuesday nights, I would dread getting home from work, picking up my box of records and going out. But come 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, fine, I'm over it. There was another one that I really, really enjoyed doing, but absolutely scared me witless before I got on stage. I'd feel uncomfortable, I'd feel sick. Sick in the same way that I felt sick when I found out that I was going on the plinth, actually. I make reference to both those.
Are you looking forward to?
I am now. It's great weather.
Yeah.
It's not too busy.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go?
I suppose I should say that Great Lift Journeys of Norwich by Alpha 7 is still available from Amazon.com. It's a very, very overlooked album, and more people should hear it.
Thank you very much indeed.